do a whole lot. I have a few things to cover this morning in the closing of this series called Doing Life Together. And the topic this morning is miracles are on the way. Amen. Miracles are on the way. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. You might want to turn me down just a slight bit, Joel. Acts chapter 2. There we go. Amen. Acts chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 42. And you know, this is our foundation scripture for the series. And if you take time, and if you have time, I'd like you just to read through Acts chapter 2 and let God talk to you from it. But right now, we're going to read from verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Just thinking about that alone, just that one statement, having favor with all the people. I think that's a powerful testimony in itself. And that not only can I have favor in church and have good relationships in church, but even with people who don't know him, they will honor the God that they see in your life. Yes. I think that's phenomenal that we can have an effect on people even though they don't know the God you serve and they don't serve that God, yet your life can have an effect on them. Yes. And they begin to bring honor to you and bless you simply because they see something on you and in your life they can't see anywhere else. The church isn't just supposed to be a club. We're supposed to have something nobody else has. And if we have that thing that nobody else has, they won't run away from the church and say they're a bunch of religious hypocrites. But once they come into contact with you, something about you will affect their life and cause them to look to the God that you serve. And they might not be saved now, but eventually they will be because they see him active in your life. Are you hearing me? And so I want to encourage us this morning to the best of my ability. And let's read that final verse. It says, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Yes. Father, I pray that you would help me this morning to declare the good news. Yes. The good news of your salvation, the good news of your love. And also, Father, we want to talk about the demonstration of your power this morning. Because you are a God of love. But you are also a God of power, and you're able to set free, you're able to deliver. And though sometimes we get despondent because we don't see you move, that doesn't change who you are. And so, God, we pray you would bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Booyah. You know, I thought, I look at the children of Israel, I look at the history in Scripture concerning the children of Israel, and I found out that it was always God's desire to have a people who would come together. And God symbolized that through the 12 tribes of Israel. He brought 12 tribes together out of a group of disoriented, discombobulated, is that a good word? People who were not in any kind of order. He brought them out of bondage and brought them to a place of order. He set them out into the number of 12 tribes. And those 12 tribes are significant and very important for us to understand because each tribe related to a purpose. I'll say that each of those 12 tribes related to a purpose and a responsibility that they had within the community of Israel. For instance, the Levites meant that they were responsible for the holy things of God in the tabernacle. And they were responsible for what we would call today intercession. See, they had a responsibility to go to God for the people. And we have a responsibility, are you hearing me? To go to God for the people. For the people who do not know him, we have a responsibility. Can I say it? It is our responsibility to go to God for the people who don't know him. And so that was their responsibility. Now, you also had several other groups of people. You had, for instance, Issachar. No, Zebulon. Zebulon were entrepreneurs. These guys thought outside of the box. They didn't do things normally. And sometimes we as believers, we got to stop being contained by boxes. And we've got to think outside and move outside of what is normal. You know, a lot of times people talk and refer to the good old days. I don't think the good old days are good now. They were good then, but they are definitely not good now. We need something fresh now, not the same as yesterday, but new for what God has for us right now. It's got to be outside of what we're used to doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so you have other tribes there that were important in the body of Christ. You had the children of Issachar. The children of Issachar were known as scholars. They were very brainy, bright, smart people. I would not be a part of the children of Issachar. I would be doing something else. I would be a part of the tribe. See, the children of Issachar, they were scholars. These guys understood the times, and they knew what Israel should do because they can tell by their intellectual prowess the nature of signs, of things that were arranged in the heavens, and from previous experiences and knowledge of previous things, they would know what Israel should do. And Judah was another kind of a tribe, and Judah were known as warriors. See, I would be a part of Judah. Yeah, because you see, sometimes, and did you ever get in a mood where you want to let something have it, you know? I would be a part of Judah, and we know Judah about that, but later on, David takes them to another aspect, and now Judah becomes known for their ability to praise God in a way the rest of the tribes were not able to do. And can I just stop right here and pause and tell you, something has to happen to us when we come to a point in our walk with God where we just can't praise him in a normal way anymore. We just can't talk about him in a way that we've talked about him in the past. But I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that he set me free, and I'll never ever stop praising him for that, because I'm free. One day he's coming back for me, and it's in my heart to love him with everything that I have. There has to come a time when we move on beyond the normality and we thank God for his word. Hallelujah. And so we have all of these kinds of tribes. Benjamin were left-handed people. They were left-handed warriors. And the reason why Benjamin were left-handed warriors is because when things came to them, the children of Israel, that were unusual, and things that were not normal, Benjamin would step to the forefront. And you know, that's what God does with each and every one of us. When there's a specific time for us, we step to the forefront. Not every one of us is at the forefront all the time. It's when God needs us to be where we need to be. Because we're not a group of individuals, we're a tribe under one God. And we move together under one God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want to help us this morning. All these were gathered, and they were gathered together, various different abilities and skills, for one purpose. And it wasn't by chance that God brought them there, because God had a plan. He was building something, and he was demonstrating something to the world. You are not here by chance, brother, sister. God has a plan. And he wants to build something that is a testimony to who he is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Well, I got to slow down now. I got to catch my breath. Last night, the leaders, we got together at Rich and Amber's, and we had some food, and we had some prayer time together. And Joe prayed for me. He said, Pastor has a lot more vigor and strength than a lot of us. I just want to reassure Joe that that I don't know if this is one of these times. But I'm giving it my all. So he gathered them all together, and whenever they marched, the Levites, there were three divisions within this tribe called the Levites. There were Gershons, the Gershonites, the Kohathites, and the Magrup something other ites. Three divisions within this context of the Levites. And their purpose and their responsibility was to be out front and lead the tribe of Israel. These were the people who handled the holy things of God. And their responsibility was to be in front of the whole group of the 12 tribes. I want to show you something here in just a minute. No, I want to show you something now. I need some military people who understand commands. Nate, would you come? You too, bro. I need you, Mom, Chief. Noah, would you come with me, bro? I need sister back there. I need you. I need you. See, this is military folks right here. Oh, B. I forgot B. Okay. What I want y'all to do is I want you to go into a place that I arrange you. Now, you come here. You stay right there. You stand right on the side of them, Marlon. Side right there. Just turn around. That's right. There you go. You come right here, Nate. And you there. And you two behind. V. No, I want you to be behind V. Next to Noah. You come just a little further. All right? You keep straight side by side. Now, when they give the normal order, and they said, right, peace. Oh, man. So you get an order again, left, peace. See, let me show you something. I'm trying to show you something here. These guys represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Whenever they move, they all move together. If they take a step back, they would take a step back together. If they turn, they turn together. When they march, forward, about peace. Now, if you notice, the Levitical priesthood would be out front. That means you the man. The Levitical priesthood was always out front, and they led from the front. It's because they carried the whole thing, the holy things of God. And what it symbolizes is we go nowhere unless God leads us. The holy things of God are out front. Huh? Now, if they camp, you come forward. You stay there. You come forward. You take a step back. You take a step back. Whenever they camped around the holy things of God. They did not stop. They did not. All of their attention was on the holy things of God whenever they stopped. And what that is saying to you and me, we don't move without God. And when we stop, we fellowship, we are around God. God is central in everything that we do. You can be seated now. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. That is an Old Testament view of how a New Testament body works. That is an Old Testament view of how a New Testament body or church works. We move together. We stop together. We turn together. Everything we do is together. Say it again. Everything we do is together. Come on, that's how it works. It doesn't work any other way. Now, could you imagine if we're marching and moving and ready to go into battle and somebody decides I want to turn right here when we're supposed to be going forward? Yeah. What happens when somebody decides I'm turning around, I'm not doing, and we're supposed to be going forward? Could you imagine your body deciding, we had a great, at Biggleswade, and also at our women's, not women's, but our walk and talk Bible study, we've been going over and talking about accountability. Rah-rah. We've been talking about accountability. And that means that if I'm going to be accountable, then it is my responsibility to go where God is leading us. Where together I follow where God is leading us. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And so it doesn't work any other way. And somebody says to me, yeah, but what about my individual call on my life? Can I tell you, God doesn't put things in order for no reason. Your individual call follows what he is doing, and it fits into what he is doing. It is not an individual thing for me to do as I please. It is a thing that blends in with the whole that God is doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need the word of God to help us this morning, because sometimes we get some confused thoughts on how things are supposed to go that are ungodly. Somebody once told me, a pastor, this guy's very prophetic, a guy named Dave Shearman. And I used to say to him, I used to always have arguments, you know, kind of. He was very prophetic, but I used to always throw, you know, little spanners in the works and say, yeah, but what? But what about this? And he said, when a pastor's leading a church, everybody falls in line with where he's going. And I said, yeah, but what if I got a vision? You know, just because he the man doesn't mean I can't have no vision. He said, yeah, but if your vision fits in with where God is taking him, you don't end up with a vision, you end up with division. And what did he phrase it as? It's called the two-headed monster. It doesn't look pretty anymore. Stuff starts going awry. You wouldn't love me if I had two heads, would you? You still love me, wouldn't you? Even if I had two heads. That's just love. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But that's the thing. And so here we are. He's dealing with Israel. He deals with the church. He deals with us as a body. And he's trying to bring us into sync. He's trying to bring us into sync, because now you have to remember, in the children of Israel's day, all of the world will have their eyes on them. Yeah. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, I think it is, you'll read what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, that they will say, blessed is the nation who has a God who is in everything that they do and say. They're observing their lives. Listen. I heard somebody put on Facebook today, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I don't care how people look at me. Beloved, let me tell you something. You need to care how you're viewed by people. You need to be concerned with how people view you. The Bible says we are living epistles, read of all men. People look at you to see who this God is that you serve. I dare not give them a messed up understanding of God. I dare not represent him and misrepresent who he really is. Are you hearing me? If I came home a little different. No, I'm not going to say that. No, I ain't got to say that yet. I'll say that some other time. See, the picture, what Jesus was trying to build was a picture that all the world can see, a nation who was following God, not a man. When they saw the Levitical priesthood, when they saw the nation of Israel moving, and they knew what that represented, because the Bible said that there was the glory of the Lord that hovered. And so they knew where they were going. They knew what they were about. Right? And people need to look at us and say, well, these people are different. And I know we say that all the time, but they need to recognize that this should be something different about us. My conversation should be different. How I treat people should be different. How I talk to people should be different. You know what's sad is when the church, you come in church and the same activities that take place outside as far as dealing with people and relationships are the same things that are taking place in church. No forgiveness, no openness, no transparency. And you see inside of church there are people plotting. Terrible, and I'll be British now. Terrible in it. It is terrible in it. We got to be different. We got to show the people something different. We need to allow God to bring us into sync. And first of all, God's intent for the church is actioned. We can see it actioned in the book of Acts. Now, I don't want to turn back to that text, but I want you to go to chapter 17, and we'll come back to that in a minute. I want to read something to you from verse 6. See, we should be exemplifying something greater and more than we've ever exemplified before. There should be something different about us. And this is what they said about the church. About the people of God who were serving God. It says, when they didn't find them, they dragged Jason out, some other brothers, before the city officials and shouted, these fellows, this is what they're saying about the church. These fellows who have turned the world upside down have come here too. I like to think that right here in this little church on the back street, that can be people raised up who can have an effect on the world in such a way that they refer to us, these people, who have turned, you know, with North-South Partnership, you know, we're involved in, when we go to these little villages and these other small hamlets, I'd like them to be able to say, these people who have turned Lake and Heath upside down have come here to our town. Because at the end of the day, it is not what we say that determines whether or not God is amongst us. The children of Israel, the Bible says it wasn't what they said, it was the activity of God amongst them. And beloved, God needs to be active amongst us with power, because he is not a God who just sits on a throne and it's just, oh, we are praising you, Lord. He's a God that moves with power. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want power in my life. I don't want to hear, you know, we can come and we can hear the same thing every week, but if there's no change, then you have to question whether there's power. There's got to be power in our lives to bring about change. The Bible says he has committed to us the word of reconciliation, and he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That means we got power to bring change. Are you hearing me? Okay, let me just press on. Are y'all okay with this so far? Listen, I know hardships are going to come, and I know tough times. We're going to run into tough times. But if we're really hungry for God and we're really desiring for God to move, we're going to be those people who they talk about. The people who have turned the world upside down. They came here. Every one of us. Amen. Okay. In Acts chapter 2, what we have is the directions. The directions and the guidelines whereby we can see God move powerfully amongst us. Clearly, there's some guidelines here. And in previous weeks, I talked about the apostles, the doctrine of the apostles and fellowship, the study and application of God's word together. It's the fellowship he's talking about, you know, the study of God's word where we study God's word together, then we apply it to our lives. This morning, when Lisa and I got up, the first thing out of our mouths, we started talking about the word of God. We just started talking about God's word. And see, now I talk about it, but when we fellowship is when the application happens. Yeah. And with the application, what he's basically talking about is what we talk about at the Walk and Talk Bible Study, accountability. I know some of you are sitting here, like we listened to the tape and the guy said, I don't want nobody in my business. Accountability, I don't want nobody telling me how to live. This is my business, this is my life. Who you think you are? Getting in my business. All in my stuff, Chief. All in my lunchbox, telling me what to do and how to do it, telling me how to make my lunch. But that's what accountability is. It's when, see, we each and every one of us needs somebody to hold our feet to the fire. Each and every one of us needs to have somebody that challenges us for the things we do, the things we say, and the decisions we make. Because what protects us, what purifies us, is this accountability. I remember Lisa asked me something once before, and I said, you know, my response was, this was many years ago, my response was, am I in charge of this household or what? Listen, if nobody can ask us a question about what we're doing and how we're doing, we're in a dangerous situation. We're in a dangerous situation. Let me read to you some scripture, because I want you to know that this is scripture. This ain't Vince's opinion. First of all, I want to talk on the minister's behalf. Because, you know, you need to understand that we ask and talk and say what we say to you because we're responsible for you. That's a responsibility I take seriously for me personally. This is what it says in Hebrews 13. Obey your leaders, be willing to do what they say. They are responsible for your spiritual welfare. This is Hebrews 13, 17. So they are always watching to protect you. Obey them so that their work will give them joy, not grief. It won't help you to make it hard for them. You know what that means? It won't help you to make it hard for them? Because if you really love God, ultimately, you're going to do what's being asked because God's going to talk to you about it. But the whole time we spent fighting over and resisting what is being asked of you could have been time you could have been used productively to do the will of God. And this is a challenge. He says, you need to make sure you do it so that it ain't hard for them. Now, I know there ain't nobody in here like this. There ain't nobody in here. I know that. But there was a challenge once upon a time in my life. We had a certain young man who was leading our youth group, and this had gotten so out of hand, so challenging for me. He tempted me, and he said to me, "You want to hit me, don't you?" It was so bad. It had gotten so bad. He said, "You want to hit me, don't you?" I said, "I sure do." "I want to punch your lights right out, buddy. Not only that, I want to give you a combination. I want to show it 4 or 5 times before you hit the ground. But I'm not going to do it because I'm accountable. Listen, I'm accountable to God. If I do stuff and I don't consider being accountable, the possibility of the testimony being hurt is great. Listen. Oops. He said. And so here's another one, because all of us need to be accountable. Every last one of us. It's not just you, but every one of us need to be accountable. This is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger. Oh, I love that. Likewise, you younger. Because I'm one of the oldest in here. So I know he's talking about somebody other than me. No, I'm just kidding. No. You're younger. You're younger than me. So that means you got to obey. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Please, Lord, help me. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yes, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Beloved, listen to me. Every one of us has to be accountable to one another. So if Joe comes and asks me, Vince, Pastor Vince, why are you doing this like this? I have to be ready to give an answer and not be offended by his question. And beloved, we need to embrace this because this is what keeps us pure. This is what keeps us safe. This is what keeps us moving on in the direction that God has for our life. When we are not afraid to answer questions because we have questionable stuff happening in our life, but we're willing to open up because we want what God wants. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Oh, I'm almost done. No, I'm not. Yeah, I am. I want to conclude now. And we're going to conclude in Acts chapter 2 with what is said at last. Communion and prayer. Now, for us, communion has become a ceremony. It's become, we break the bread and we have this ceremonial thing called communion. It's the breaking of bread together is what it says in the text. But for them, it was not a ceremony. It was life. It was life. And what's that talking about when we talk about communion? We know what we're talking about because we are considering this a place of intimacy. Mm-hmm. Back then, it was the same thing. Their breaking of bread together was a place of intimacy where they sat with each other. They talked to one another. They opened up to one another. Listen, I've heard people say, yeah, you've got to open up to the right people. That's true. But if intimacy is being practiced, the wrong people will become the right people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If real intimacy is being practiced, the wrong people will become the right people because everybody will be ministered to, everybody will be challenged, and everybody will be changed. So we're talking about, I don't want to talk too much about that. It's really a time of faith building where we sit and we talk, we encourage one another. But kind of like last night, we was together with, and then after that we ate food, stuffed ourselves, ice cream and cake afterwards, Mountain Dew. And we chilled. And then we got up and Rich was leading us and he said, we're going to pray for each other now. And we started praying and then we started and there was prophecies and there was encouragement. There was word by the Holy Spirit. And can I say something to you? I believe what we experienced today, this morning, was directly related to what we experienced last night. And see, God wants more of that to happen, not just the leadership, but all of us. Can you imagine what could happen when we all come together like that? Yes, glory be to God. You know, I believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not just for church. And beloved, God wants to empower us and equip us. So when I'm on my job and I see somebody in a terrible problem in their life, God put something in my heart that I'm courageous enough to speak to them for, because that word becomes life to them. I guess I calmed down. I'll stop being loud now. I'll be quiet. You know, we have to minister all things to all people. There are loud people here, but there are also quiet people. So I now minister to the benefit of the quiet people. So, the next thing is, he says that there's got to be prayer. Can I just say to you, prayer is the furnace of our doing life together? Prayer is the furnace. It is what actually makes doing life together easier. God established the importance of prayer on the day of Pentecost. Because he said to them, I want you to gather all together in one place. And can I say to you, it is significant on how we gather. I've heard people say before, well, I could pray at home at the same time you're praying here at church. That's good, and I appreciate it. But what happens here can't happen where you at if God wants you to be together. I would have, if the day of Pentecost had come, I wonder if everybody decided, well, of 5 or 10 of them, so I'm going to be at home you know, y'all go ahead, I'll meet you, I'm going to be at home. Would they have experienced what came on the day of Pentecost? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? What would they have experienced? And what happened on the day of Pentecost? We know because as Pentecostals, as classic Pentecostals, they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But beloved, don't miss what is actually happening because it wasn't just the speaking of tongues, it was speaking of languages. And those languages that they were speaking became ministry to everybody who was walking around in the community who spoke in other languages. And people heard the gospel in their own native tongue from these people who never spoke anything other than their own language. And what's that about? When we come together, the Holy Spirit will equip us to do things we never thought we were able to do. He will give us power that we never thought we could ever have. When we come together, that is the absolute will of God for people to gather together to pray. In the Old Testament, you see, they hear them calling the solemn assembly. And when they called the solemn assembly in Chronicles, the Bible says that Jehoshaphat, oh, glory, you know the story. But when they came and they prayed, the Bible says God set ambushes for the enemy. Coming together to pray is important. It's vital for our lives. And, you know, I know how it is for you hardworking folks because I've been there, done that. I'm serious. I was working on the base and I was responsible. Y'all know the new hospital, the way it is right now, right? That's a new hospital. 23 years ago, I was one of the project managers for that new facility. A lot of our hospital, especially the main annex, was a Quonset hut out at the back. And I was one of the people who worked in getting that done. At the same time, I was pastoring this little church. So I would go to work, stressed like you wouldn't believe. Commanders cursing you out. When is that blankety-blank people going to get this blankety-blank stuff done? I'm like, man, please. I come back and people coming to me, Pastor Vince, I don't like the way you're preaching this. I don't like the way you're doing that. And you know what I did? I said, we're going to pray. Listen. The victory doesn't come any other way. The Bible says prayer brings the victory. It doesn't come any other way. It's by prayer. And beloved, on the day of Pentecost, when they prayed, you can't tell me they didn't get victory. Not only did they get victory, but they purchased victory for you and I. Because on the day of Pentecost, it was fulfilled what the prophet Joel said. In that day, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Every one of us. Hallelujah. Somebody shout before I bust. We got it's because. Glory. Let me calm down. I got to calm down. Let me just close with this because later on I'm going to have to hurry up because there's a lot. Y'all, are y'all okay? Y'all ain't going to walk out on me, are you? I just really need to unburden my heart and let some stuff out here. It's going to be helpful to us. I know y'all thinking about Burger King. You can't say Popeyes because they closed. What did you say, KFC? Oh, that was Saturday? You were. Oh, please help me. I was sitting to them last night. My ears are so full of wax, or either I'm going deaf. Please pray. What? Let me talk to you about something else here. Because if you notice, when the Spirit of God came, can I say to you that the first of all, the text says the fear of the Lord fell upon them. See, that's the last thing we expect to happen when the presence of God comes. But that's the first thing that will happen when the presence of God comes. And that's a sign that he is tangible amongst us. Because there's no way you can stand in the presence of God and stand proudly. There's no way you can stand in the presence of God and be confident of your own abilities. Because when you stand in the presence of God, you see yourself the way you really are. He takes the covers off and you can see yourself how he sees you. Now you're relying on the mercy of God. And that's why fear, this holy reverence for God, comes on the place, on the people. And when that reverence hits, gets ready, the miracles are about to flow.
Wow. Yes.
The miracles are about to flow. You listen to the text, but before the miracles come, there's something else that happens. The Bible says that they were giving and making sure everybody who had need were taken care of. I know we heard a lot about tithing from Pastor Clement. Anybody were blessed by Pastor Clement in that message. Pastor Clement Akusi is a phenomenal guy. Talked to us about tithing. And so did Pastor Emmanuel Coconio. Y'all remember what he said? You blessed by that? You didn't put your hand up, though. That's all right. I got you. I spotted you. We were blessed by the tithing teaching. And beloved, that I have to apologize to everyone here who makes this their home church. That is something I should have been doing for some time. But I was afraid to offend people. Can I tell you now? I'm no longer afraid to offend people. I'm going to talk to you about tithing. But since they talked to you about tithing and they told you that tithing, the tithe belongs to God, I'm going to talk to you about an offering. Because you don't begin to really give until after you've tithed. Your tithe is not giving. It is giving to God what belongs to him. After that comes giving, an offering. Now, what's that all about? What I love about my Lily, she loves to bless me. She gives me cups of tea. She does things that makes me really happy. She just looks at me. If I'm mean at her sometimes, she looks at me with a nice face, and it convicts me that I need to go back and make it right. She says, Vince, would you like some fried, I love fried chicken. And she says, would you like some fried chicken? She's the best fried chicken person since Popeyes. Makes good fried chicken. So I get all of that. And she makes sure that I have what I need. See, your offering, your tithe belongs to God, but your offering is intended to make sure the church has what they need. A few months ago, we had to take up special offerings to buy certain things for the church, which we never should have had to do. If we are tithing and giving offerings, we'll never have to take up a special offering because the finances are bigger. Isn't that what it says in Malachi? Bring all the tithes into the barn. So, my church will not be without what they need. Basically, are you hearing me? Some of y'all looking sad now. Why'd he have to go talk about that? I was blessed. Don't be talking about offerings. Can I talk to you? Mark chapter 12. Go to Mark chapter 12. See, this is an offering that will change your mind and change your life. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which makes up a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have ever given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. And then I said, God, what is this all about? What are you trying to say? This poor woman put in everything she had. What do you mean by that? And I thought, well, she was just tithing right. She was just trying to do the right thing for God. And I just tried to figure that out. What is this all about? Because you got to figure out the background. Why? Do you ever read scripture and ask the question, why? I do that a lot. And it came to me with that last word. She put in her livelihood. She was grateful because before knowing Jesus, she didn't really have a life. She didn't really have a life. But now she's met him. She knows what life really is. And what she owns isn't really life. Life is in Christ. And if you have come to a revelation of what Jesus has done in your life and what he's prepared for you for future, what you have now really doesn't really matter. It really doesn't matter. Because all that you are and everything that you have is in him. It's all in him. The Bible says the riches of God in Christ Jesus. So we give, and we give with, listen, if you're grateful for something, what do? You show your appreciation, right? You go to a restaurant and they serve you some good food. What do? Well, I'm going to give them a good tip. Because they really blessed me. That food was really... Y'all don't do that? Y'all don't tip when y'all go to a restaurant? Y'all don't tip? Who doesn't tip? Yes. Who doesn't tip when they go to a restaurant? Are they nobody? Oh, Mary's brave. She's so brave. But if you're really blessed, you bless the people who blessed you. Are you here? So when we go to a restaurant, Lisa and I went to Giraffe's. I don't know if y'all seen on Facebook. We put up some food that we were liking and eating. It was really good. Giraffe is good. I used to think it was a... But went there, and we had the food, and we blessed the people. Not only did we tip them, but we told them what we thought. We blessed them. I want... in this church, an atmosphere of blessing. Yes. The reason why we come and you give, it's not just the money thing. Yeah, we need money, beloved, to do things that we can't do any other way without it. But it is the atmosphere of blessing that you bring. It is the atmosphere. You know why we experience what we experienced this morning? Because we gathered together and we gave to each other, and that spilled over in here. When we give to one another like that and bless one another, there is an atmosphere of approval that comes from God. Not because we just work for anything, but because he's happy that you see what he is like. Because you can't beat God in giving. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And listen, when you are a child of God, you become benevolent like God. Did you hear that? Yes. If you're really his child, you'll be like him. You give simply because you want to bless. Okay. I know I was taking a long time on that, but that's okay. See, God removes, when we give like that, God removes the selfishness. He removes... the stuff, the me, the central part of you being, you know, sometimes when it's time for us to give, we think, well, will I have enough for this week? And I need to make sure I got my bills covered. And I'm not saying you should be negligent, but what I am saying is God should get the first thought. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, I know you're saying here, yeah, but me personally, I have dreams and I have aspirations. Your dreams and your aspirations are a small part of a bigger picture. Let me make sure that my dreams and my aspirations fit in with the bigger picture. Or if they don't, let me take steps to make sure they do. Yeah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I have, you guys know, I'm almost done, please. I look at Claire and Lisa and they give me the sign. You know, I'm not talking about Mandy, but you could tell they like thermometers. They like thermometers. You look at them, and sometimes Marlon's like a thermometer too, because what Marlon does is when things are getting a little bit longer, Marlon will go, Then I know what's going on. Thanks, Chief. Listen, beloved, the furnace that's going to bring the presence of God is when we learn the importance of our coming together. when we learn the importance of us being together, it's important. It's absolutely vital. I don't know how much more I can stress it. That even at the expense of some quality time alone, it is more important to come together. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you would help us to be people who focus on the coming together, who focus on your will and your desires from the dawn of time, from your dealings with the children of Israel. You want us to be together so that you can work through us. Father, we pray for every situation. And I pray that, God, as our wills are to come together, you would give us the grace, enabling grace, to do just that. You would change our circumstances and situations to help us accomplish that. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.